Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update on the recent National Training Center rotation of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the Minnesota National Guard, and we'll meet the commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Our Minnesota National Guard is continually working to enhance partnerships throughout our communities. In no case are these partnerships more important than at Camp Ripley. Camp Ripley is a 53,000-acre regional training facility for our military, federal, state, local, and civilian communities. A lot of events happen at Camp Ripley. The Camp Ripley's Visitor Bureau is a flurry of activity as they work to report on many, many events each month for the Ripley Reporter online magazine. But it doesn't stop there. Our community media outlets around Camp Ripley have stepped up to take an active role in sharing what happens on base. The Brainerd Dispatch runs weekly stories, and KLTF Radio in Little Falls airs stories frequently. Even the area cable access station welcomes our Minnesota National Guard leadership into their studio monthly for interviews about what is happening at Camp Ripley. These partnerships in the communication community around Camp Ripley are remarkable. Don't get me wrong, I see news stories about our units and about our yellow ribbon networks in medium and small town newspapers and across airwaves statewide. But I today want to thank the Camp Ripley community for sharing our stories and ensuring the sustainability of this state's resource.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In June, the Minnesota National Guard's 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team conducted its historic National Training Center rotation at Fort Irwin, California. This training, usually reserved for active duty units, was the culmination of 2 years of intense training and diligent planning by the soldiers of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team. The Army National Guard receives one brigade NTC rotation slot each year, and the 1st ABCT was selected for 2016 rotation largely because of its impressive readiness posture. NTC is the only facility in the United States Army that allows a full brigade combat team to conduct both a live fire attack and live fire defense, integrating all mission command systems, warfighting functions, as well as direct air support coordinating with the United States Air Force. The 28-day NTC rotation incorporated force-on-force maneuver training, live fire ranges, as well as contingency-based scenarios. This training rotation has prepared the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team soldiers for real-world missions through a tough, realistic scenario of simulated combat in the harsh environment of California's rugged, high-mountain Mojave Desert. And joining us today to talk about it is the Colonel Bob Intrust, who is the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls from the Minnesota National Guard. Colonel, welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's great to be home. Thanks for having me today.
Sir, we had you on a couple of months ago, and we were talking about all the preparation and the planning for that you've been working on for a couple of years, and now you're back from this great training mission. Did everyone come home safe, sir?
Everybody did. We had an extremely safe rotation out there. It was exceptional training and a couple minor accidents, but with the level of complexity and all of the moving pieces that we had out there in the high desert, it was extremely safe. Very proud of the soldiers and the leaders.
Sir, when you were in before, we were talking about shipping out, I think it was 1,500 pieces of equipment from Camp Ripley all the way out to California, and I think you told me that if you put those trains all together, they'd be, 8 miles long?
Almost 9 miles.
My goodness. And how many soldiers from how many states were involved?
We had about 6,800 soldiers from 17 different states across the nation that all converged on Fort Irwin, California, the beginning in June. So it was by far the largest single deployment within the Minnesota Guard ever, and just an incredibly large event.
Sir, the logistics involved in getting that much equipment and that many people halfway across the country and then getting ready to go out in the desert into the, what you call the box to perform all this training has to be almost unbelievable.
It is. What's amazing is it really takes an entire state effort. You know, the whole team within the state of Minnesota really contributed to the overall ability of the 1st Brigade to execute this mission to NTC. And so without the entire team's effort, we would never have been able to pull this off. So it's the largest thing I've seen in my 30 years of being in the military.
Colonel, I'd like to just kind of walk through the steps in the process. We covered the fact that you loaded up all that equipment, shipped it out by rail. You had, I think, almost 90 aircraft to take people across the country. Once you started getting people in, they must have had to greet the rail cars and start unloading everything. Can you tell us the process? What all was involved? What were the steps?
Yeah, so the NTC rotation is basically in about four different key areas. So we have what we call our advance party, and that's upwards of about 600 people. They are the group of individuals that start receiving the tractor trailers that are moving in equipment and all of the rail cars. And so we have our advance party personnel out there. They showed up on or about the last week of May and started working diligently to offload and stage all of our equipment. Following that, then we have our main body. The bulk of our soldiers arrive, and we begin a process of what's called reception station onward movement and integration, RSOI for short. And that is where the Army expects the brigade combat teams to what we call build combat power. That means get all of our equipment ready to go, get all of our soldiers acclimated and processed, ready to go, do the last minute training steps we need, and then get ready to move into the box. And then we do a tactical road march where we move all 6,700 soldiers in their organic vehicles, and we move them out from our little mini city in the desert, all the way out to the desert into very austere conditions. And that tactical road march, if you can think about almost 7,000 people and the associated equipment uncoiling from a very compact space, it takes about 24 hours to just get everybody out into the box. We then have our training event for 14 continuous days, and then we have the last phase, which is called regeneration. And that's where we try to recover all of our equipment and get everybody back to recover the people and ship them back home and get them back to their families.
We're speaking with Colonel Bob Intrust, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, Minnesota National Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio. So, sir, if I understand this right, you've got all your equipment out there, you've got your people out there, you've staged your equipment, you brought basically an abandoned tent city to life because your people were there. But one of the things I think our listeners don't understand is not only did you have to get there, but when you got there, nobody was taking care of you. You had to provide fuel, water, food, so you had your own soldiers with you that did all of those duties. They had to clean up after them. They had to provide the food. They had to provide the water. You were taking care of yourself out in the middle of the desert.
That is correct. That's one of the things that makes the National Training Center rotation so incredibly difficult for units. It's what we call expeditionary. So if you think about if the Army were to project an armored combat brigade into, let's just say, Iraq for the first time before any other U.S. forces are there, that's what we call expeditionary. And that's what NTC replicates. And so it causes us to have to completely support ourselves through the systems that the Army has provided. And that is a significant challenge for any unit, active duty or National Guard, and really proved to be one of the highest hurdles for us to get over to effectively learn how to do that. We don't do that all that often in the National Guard on a drill weekend because we don't have generally the time. And so there was a tremendous amount of training. All of the brigade support soldiers, NCOs and leaders from our BSB just did absolutely incredible work. And as we got out, I was doing award ceremonies with the various battalions. One of the things I told them was, We can fail at a lot of training events, for the maneuver units and back that up and try it again, try something different and do that. But the one thing we could never fail at was our own sustainment, our own providing logistical support, and our brigade support battalion did not fail. And so that was a great effort on their part.
And Colonel, you were in California's rugged high mountain Mojave Desert. What were the conditions?
We had a record heat wave, which I wasn't too happy to hear about. We had 3 days of about 116, 117 degrees, 40 to 50 mile an hour winds. It was as austere and challenging of an environment that I've ever been in. And I've spent 2 years in Iraq and been into some pretty austere places, but nothing quite like what we experienced in the Mojave Desert.
Colonel, so you're out there, you're staged, you've got your people, your equipment, you're ready to go into what you've referred to, or I've seen referred to as 14 days in the box, which is where you go out and you go up against the enemy. Who was the enemy in this case and for this training?
So the Army has a active duty brigade that's stationed at Fort Irwin, California, the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment, the 11th ACR, Black Horse, and they are experts in our enemy doctrine and actually have a vehicle fleet that replicates enemy vehicles. And so that armored cavalry regiment, that's what their Army jobs are. They study enemy doctrine, they fight like the enemy, and that's the enemy that every brigade that goes through an NTC rotation faces, and they are very good at it.
Sir, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about the box and the enemy and how our 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team did at the NTC rotation. We're speaking with Colonel Bob Interest, commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Baseball is part of the fabric of American life. One of the American Legion's most successful programs through the years has been Legion Baseball. In Minnesota, we have over 325 teams in nearly every community in the state, involving about 5,000 student athletes. Five of our Minnesota teams have won the National World Series. This is Peggy Moon, past department commander of the American Legion. Check out your local team and come to a game. It's some of the best baseball you'll ever see.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today we're talking to Colonel Robert Interest, who is the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard. And we've been talking about a recent training exercise at the NTC rotation out in California. And, Colonel, it's my understanding that you don't get a shot at this training exercise very often. This is kind of the top of the training hill, isn't it?
This is the peak of that training mountain. This is the once-in-a-career experience.
So a great opportunity for you to lead all those soldiers into the desert. And as we talked, you staged your equipment and your soldiers at this city that came to life, got everything ready, and then you proceeded into the box. Can you tell us, what is the box, and was that 14 days of intense training?
Yeah, it was pretty much 14 days of HELL. So it was long, hot days. So the box is the actual training environment where you're actually practicing what you've been trained to do as an organization and as individuals. And the brigade had essentially four separate mission sets while we were in that 14-day training period. We did a movement to contact, which is basically the enemy and us moving in the same general direction. And once you make contact, you kind of develop that situation and see who wins. You know, it's kind of a meeting engagement, if you will. And then following that, NTC, the training program out there, employs a concept called open phasing. So kind of how far you get at the end of that, they'll stop it at a certain point. You'll back up. You'll do some after action reviews and kind of hot washes of how it went. And then you get an opportunity to make some changes. And then you move into the next phase. The next phase for us was a deliberate defense. That means that we specifically plan our defensive area for the enemy then to continue to try to fight through and defeat us in the defense. And so with open phasing, the battle can, as soon as our after actions or reviews are done, we pick up the battle right where it was, and we have to fight what we call a counter reconnaissance fight. They're trying to figure out where we're going to set up our defense. We're trying to kill them so they can't see where we're setting up our defense. So we went through the deliberate defense training and went through another iteration of after-action reviews, and then we moved into an attack within a built-up area. The NTC has got the world's largest urban training centers in the U.S. Army inventory. They're absolutely rather huge cities. And And so we did two iterations of attacking these cities to clear out enemy insurgents that were there. And following that, then we our final mission over that 14-day box period was what we call a deliberate attack. And the enemy sets up their deliberate defense, and we are trying to figure out how to defeat that defense and then drive the enemy out of NTC. And so that was how our 14 days flowed. And throughout that whole period, we also had parts of my brigade that were doing live fire up in a different part of NTC. And so they'd rotate up for 3 days at a time and employ the largest weapon systems that we have in our inventory and shoot live bullets downrange at targets. So,
which is something you don't often get a chance to do.
Not at that level. We were doing it at the company and battalion level. We can do live fire here in Minnesota, but we can only do it at what's called the platoon level, which is four tanks or four Bradley fighting vehicles. Out there, you can have all 12 in a company, 14 in a company, and or larger. And so, I mean, NTC is really the only place in the Army inventory for National Guard units to be able to do that level of live fire.
Now, Colonel, I want to ask you a little bit about the enemy once again. The enemy in this case is an active duty Army unit that understands the ground. This is where they play.
This is their backyard.
So it's their ground. It's their territory. They do this all the time. They kind of know what you're going to try. You hope you know what they're going to try. So you're up against a formidable enemy in this case.
Very difficult to defeat. In fact, the Black Horse Regiment will proudly say their motto is "Death rides a black horse." And so every time you meet a Black Horse soldier on the battlefield or hear one of their reports, they always follow it up with "Death rides a black horse," and they mean it. They're actually very, very good at what they do and a very, very difficult enemy to defeat.
Sir, do they remember today that your motto is "attack, attack, attack" now that they've been up against you?
They do. The brigade commander, his name's Colonel Kevin Jacoby, is a good friend of mine, and we met on the high ground after one of the battles and shook each other's hands and slapped each other on the back and said, "Great job," and then we turned around and went our separate directions and continued to fight each other for the next 6 days. So
we're speaking with Colonel Robert Interest, the commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division, Red Bull, about his NTC rotation they just returned from on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, I've read some of the articles that have been written about the training and some of the various units, but you have one unit that's referred to as Iron Ranger, and they're actually cavalry scouts. And there's a quote in here that apparently your cavalry scouts are as aggressive as any that the active duty Army has seen.
Yeah, the Iron Rangers from headquartered out of Duluth, Minnesota, they truly did an absolutely bang-up job out at NTC. They took it to the enemy every single day, and were at the bleeding edge of the sword, so far out in front of the brigade, trying to keep our security zone safe. It was just an incredible effort by Lieutenant Colonel Tim Kemp and the entire Iron Ranger team.
And, sir, there was another article that said that one of your units had an operation where they had to attack a city, and they attacked the city in the evening and fought the enemy all night long. Your soldiers must have been pretty tired after 14 days because they didn't get much sleep, did they?
It was really a long 14 days. I mean, most soldiers averaged about 20 hours a day of work, you know, somewhere between 18 to 20 hours a day. I know that for about a four-day stretch, I was going on about 2 to 2.5 hours of sleep for about 4 days until finally somebody recognized that I was really getting tired, and I got a good 6 hours that next night. But, it was a long 14 days, Tom.
Colonel, these days technology is a big part of things, and I imagine cyber and communications were huge out in the desert. Was the enemy trying to take after you on that as well?
They did. The Army has a professional cyber warfare team that from the minute we arrived at Fort Irwin, our systems were under cyber attack, and it took the Army's professional cyber warfare team 7 days to crack our network, which was, by all accounts, everything we were told, among the best across the Army. So our signal communications team really did an outstanding job fending off the cyber warfare warriors trying to crack our network. It took them 7 days to get in, so that's unheard of.
Pretty hard to command if you can't communicate.
That's exactly right, Tom.
Well, Colonel, at the end of this rotation, that kind of puts you, as you say, the top of the training peak. What does that mean for the 1st Armored Brigade going forward?
Yeah, as we talked previously on the last time I was on the show, Tom, right now still we've only got the two overseas training missions that we've got in Europe next June and September, Sabre Strike and immediate response exercises. One of the battalions that's in the brigade that didn't go to NTC with us, we just deployed 237 soldiers down to Fort Hood, Texas, in preparation to go over to Egypt to be part of the multinational observers force in the Sinai. And so, I want to thank the soldiers and their supportive families and employers that are supporting those deployed soldiers out of 1st Brigade right now down at Fort Hood. And, I pray for all of those soldiers to come home safe and that they have a successful rotation. And they're competently led by Lieutenant Colonel John Osterkamp and Sergeant Major Chris Droner, and they'll do a great job. But thank you again to the supportive families and employers of those soldiers that are getting ready to head off in harm's way.
Yeah, Colonel, sounds like it was a very, very successful rotation. What's next for Colonel Intress?
Well, Tom, I appreciate you asking me that. I just recently have dropped my retirement paperwork, and so I will be retiring from the U.S. Army and Minnesota National Guard at the end of October after a long 30 and a half years of Army service, and I'll be moving on to another career.
Colonel, one last question for our listeners out there that are hearing all about this rotation at the NTC. Some of those were thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard. What would you tell them on now that you've finished and you finished with this big two-year project?
I will tell you that looking back over a 30-year career in the military and with it culminating with this great experience that we had at NTC, it really has been the passion of my life. And I can tell you that without exception, every soldier that I talked to leaving NTC said it was the best training experience of their life. And so I would say to any prospective or any individual thinking about joining the military or the National Guard, it is a great life choice. And, you'll get experiences here that you won't get anywhere else in the world. So it's been great for me. And like I said, the last time we were in, my daughter, I had the unique opportunity to swear in my daughter. She's just completing her second week of basic training. So we're looking forward to seeing her when she gets done. So,
Colonel, best of luck to you, and thanks for joining us today.
Tom, thank you very much.
This is Colonel Robert Intress, commander of the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have the division commander with us, and we'll talk a little more about the Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is the Metropolitan Council. As the first state agency to become a Yellow Ribbon Company, the Met Council provides support not only to the military-connected employees, but lends their human resource team to the Minnesota National Guard to assist in creating resumes and providing job search advice to service members and their families seeking employment. The leaders at the Met Council have made veteran recruiting and hiring a main priority for their teams. They realize the value skilled veteran leaders can bring to the transportation industry. The Met Council also celebrate the veteran employees and recognize the service throughout the year. They have led the way for other Minnesota state agencies to make the commitment of support through the Yellow Ribbon Company program. The Metropolitan Council has been a Yellow Ribbon Company since November of 2011 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll meet the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard's 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, but first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
This year marks the tremendous achievement of 129 years of exemplary service within our Minneapolis Veterans Home. Originally an old soldier's home for veterans of the Civil War, the Veterans Home reflects how the needs of our nation's heroes have changed and the ways in which they remain the same. Today, the focus of the homes has shifted to include finding housing and jobs within the community for our veterans. However, the homes continue to meet and exceed veterans' physical, social, and spiritual needs. The homes remain a place of around-the-clock care provided by our dedicated staff who make every day Veterans Day. With this anniversary in mind, we look forward to the next 129 years of serving those who served.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard's 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, Major General Neil Leutholt. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate being back.
Sir, some of our listeners may not have been in the Army. They might have been in the Air Force like me. So I thought maybe we'd start out today talking about the division. Can you tell us how the Army is organized and how you fit into the Minnesota National Guard and what other units from other states are involved in the division?
Yes, sir, I certainly can. You know, the division is the highest tactical warfighting level in the United States Army, and we're fortunate to have a headquarters here in Minnesota. Our 34th Division provides command and control for about 23,000 soldiers across eight states. In Minnesota, that includes the 1st Brigade, who we just heard from the commander there, Bob Interest, but also the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade, the Regional Support Group, that's the 347th, the Regional Support Group, and our own Troop Command Headquarters that commands units that don't fit into the other structure, Tom.
And General, did you have a chance to travel out to the desert to observe any of the National Training Center rotation?
I was at the NTC with the 1st Brigade. Unfortunately, I had a small break in between, so I didn't quite have to endure the prolonged heat that Colonel Interest talked about. He must have his own special thermometer, because I don't recall a 115-degree day, but perhaps it was the day that I wasn't there, Tom.
And, sir, your observations, it sounds like it was a very successful rotation and trip to the National Training Center.
It really was. You know, we pride ourselves, Red Bulls do, as being lifelong learners and have a learning organization, and Bob Interest certainly does. That unit improved every single day of the time that it was at the National Training Center. In fact, that was one of the things that was noted in its AAR. Our soldiers don't fight with their evaluators or their trainers. They learn from them all the time. And certainly Bob and his great leaders set the standard for the Army in a number of areas, but perhaps most impressively was comments about Bob Interest's personal leadership style, his ability to visualize how a battle might unfold and to try to make sure that his commanders understand that so that they can fight on their own, Tom.
In general, after you've participated in the largest, maybe the best training exercise in the country this year for the Army, does that mean that your National Guard soldiers are at the highest readiness level, and what might that portend for the next year or two?
Well, they certainly are at the highest readiness level right now. That unit went to the National Training Center with a level of strength that is higher than any other National Guard and or Army unit has ever gone to the National Training Center. If you combine that with the rigor of what they endured during the time that they were in the box, it has them at the highest training level. What that means, I think we heard a little bit about that in the last segment. We've got two training exercises coming up next year, Saber Strike and Immediate Response, but the entire unit is still considered in the ready cycle, so should something come up and the Army needed a unit, our unit would be considered highly.
In general, from the National Training Center rotation, they were in the box for 14 days and they were out in the desert for 30 days. And I'm sure they had to do the best they could to clean up all of that equipment, load it back up on the trains, and ship it back to Camp Ripley. Is there another process now? I understand there's something called regeneration, where you have to get all of that equipment back up there and clean it up and check it out and get ready for the next mission?
Indeed. You know, Colonel Interest mentioned about the eight, almost 9 miles of train going to the NTC. That's the same amount of miles or numbers of trains that returns from the NTC. And so our regional support group takes care of that for us. They offloaded all those trains at Camp Ripley. In fact, just finishing this past Saturday with the last train. And now the process of ensuring that all those vehicles are returned to the appropriate Army standards so they're ready for the very next thing that we can do. You know, Bob mentioned in the last segment that we can never fail at our own sustainment. Well, that's true, you know, after the brigade returns. Within the state, we can't fail at the missions that are about to come up. And so our goal, and we seem to be on track, is to have all that equipment returned to the appropriate Army readiness standard by the 15th of September so that we're ready to support the two exercises that we heard about, but also so that our equipment maintains its readiness and is prepared where it's primarily stored at Camp Ripley, should we ever need to use it immediately.
So things are hopping up at Camp Ripley.
It is a very busy time at Camp Ripley. So while the Red Bull soldiers from the 1st Brigade are enjoying some vacation and resting up after the month of June, the soldiers at Camp Ripley are really just getting fired up to try to take care of all that equipment.
We're speaking with Major General Neil Leutholt, the division commander for the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, how important was the support from the 347th Regional Support Group on that rotation?
Well, it was the first time that we had ever attempted a task like this. Normally, the unit is required to support itself. And in this case, it allowed Colonel Interest to focus on training his brigade in appropriate warfighting skills. And we had another great Army colonel, Colonel Lowell Cruz, who commands the regional support group. He was there, and they took care of everything from billeting to chow to some of the maintenance tasks that were left to the very end, policing the area where soldiers were, taking care of the security of gear, etc. And so we had a number of visitors. You know, Bob talked about everything that goes on when you're in the box. He failed to mention, he's too humble, I suppose, that they also had to deal with 13 distinguished visitors throughout. Four-star general, congressmen, three-star generals, adjutant generals from other states, all there to give Bob Interest good advice on how to fight. But one of the things that allowed him to do that was the knowledge that he had, his colleague Lowell Cruz and his organization in the rear taking care of all those other tasks.
Sure, it would seem to me that if he was trying to manage all the things going on in the box when he had all those distinguished visitors there, that might have been a little bit of a distraction.
Well, it depends at what level the visitor is, whether you can describe him as a distraction or not, Tom. But certainly because of the performance of the brigade and how well they were doing, even though it is a level of increased difficulty for us, you want to allow people to see what's happening. You want congressmen to see their soldiers on the ground training. You want the leadership of the Army to see how well the National Guard Brigade is doing. So we use the regional support group to bring them in, to get everything set up, and then limit the amount of time that Colonel Interest had to deal with them while he was fighting.
General, one of the things that we've realized, I think, in the last 6 years of doing Minnesota Military Radio, we've been to Kuwait a couple of times. We've talked to a lot of your soldiers that have been deployed all over the world. A lot of our listeners might not understand it, but when you go, whether it's halfway around the world to out in the desert in the middle of Kuwait or somewhere, you've got to take everything and everything you need, and you have to make yourself at home wherever you are, despite perhaps bad conditions.
It's true, and it can be a very difficult task for young soldiers or older soldiers who have forgotten that. It's not always as enjoyable as you might think, sleeping in a 50-soldier bay with the lights on for safety and a fire guard every night. But those are some of the conditions that soldiers accustom themselves to. But once they get into the business of that which they were there for at the NTC, all of that seems to fall to the wayside, Tom, and just become a small trivial memory.
And the American service member has the ability to make themselves comfortable wherever they are, don't they?
They really do. If you consider that probably from start to finish, we're only on about 40-some days for that entire operation to load it at Camp Ripley, train it down, unload it, fight it, load it back up, and bring it back. There aren't many other organizations in the entire world that could do that.
General, I want to keep moving on here. Last year, the Iowa Red Bulls of the 2nd Brigade Combat Team completed a rotation at the Joint Readiness Training Center in Louisiana, the NTC equivalent for a light infantry brigade, I understand. Where are they now and how are they doing?
Well, you know, most of the brigade is in Iowa continuing to train. It's also, they're also training on some small exercises, but the good majority of them, much like we heard what will happen to 1st Brigade next year, are in their ready year. And so their big exercise this year is Arctic Anvil in Alaska. Almost 850 packs from the Great Iowa Unit will be providing opposing forces for one of the Army Striker Brigade combat teams in training.
General, we're just about done with this segment. When we come back, I want to find out what else the division's been up to and how you've been the last year or so that I haven't seen you. We have to take a short break. We're speaking with Major General Neil Leutholt, the division commander for the 34th Infantry Division on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been talking to Major General Neil Leutholt, the division commander of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. And, General, we've been talking about the NTC rotation that 6,000 or so troops just got back from. And I know the division now, you said 23,000 soldiers from 8 states. Is that what you said within the division, sir?
Yep, that's right, Tom. And that's called our alignment for training, and that encompasses units in about 7 other states. The list might be a little bit long for us to go through, but in there are other support group units, aviation units, field artillery units, and fires units.
So you must have people all over the world at any given time, sir.
Well, we're not quite as diverse that way as the United States Army, which is in an awful lot of countries. But we are busy, especially in the summer during our prime training period, supporting as many exercises as we can for the collective training value of our units.
In general, I understand that you recently had some troops over in Croatia.
We did. They were building a, working on remodeling a kitchen in a school to be able to help the youngsters there in Croatia. I traveled with Governor Dayton and General Nash to celebrate the 20th anniversary of our exchange with Croatia. We visited the Slunj training range, had a meeting with the president, and took a number of meetings with the Minister of Defense and the Chief of Defense about the next 20 years of our partnership and what a consolidated training strategy might look like.
And, sir, we have another exchange program with Norway, too.
We do. That exchange program is a little bit older than the one we've had with Croatia, but it continues as well. That operation was going on during the same time that the 1st Brigade was at NTC, as our other units were preparing to deploy as we were traveling to Croatia. So it's been a very busy 2016 so far.
And, General, I understand you also had a group of soldiers in Estonia.
We had a small headquarters element in Estonia, Tom, providing command and control and mentorship relative to the conduct of combined arms rehearsals for one U.S. brigade and one Estonian brigade. So it was a great opportunity to see yet another military, to test our team on how it might move into another environment, as you mentioned before, how it sustains itself and is still able to conduct the business at hand.
General, I think one of the last times you were on the show, we were talking about the really glorious history of the 34th Infantry Division going back to really the Civil War, and the division played a huge portion in the World War II. I think you had more days in active combat than any other unit in that war.
Tom, that's a fact. Six major army campaigns in North Africa, Sicily, and Italy. The division in the record book is accredited with 517 days of consecutive combat, but some soldiers and some units serve over 600 days. Those are units from the 2nd Brigade that we were just discussing before, out of Iowa, and some specifically from Boone, Iowa, that spend that kind of time on the front lines in World War II.
In general, since 9/11/2001, I think the Red Bulls have had the longest deployment over to Kuwait and the largest deployment over to Kuwait. So the division's still hard at it, aren't they?
They are. Tom, your history is very sharp. We have the most consecutive days in combat in Iraq and the largest deployment, as you just referenced. It's the way we stay ready, Tom, as we continue to practice. We practice all the time so that when we're needed, we're as good at it as we can be. We do that as leaders in Minnesota to make sure that we're looking out for the welfare of our soldiers. You wouldn't want to take an untrained soldier to combat and have something go wrong there. And so all of the rigor and blood, sweat, and tears that we invest now pay us dividends at that time in the future when we're needed.
General, with that long history, it's got to be an honor to be the division commander.
I think that sells it a little bit short, even, Tom, to call it an honor. I'm not exactly sure the best way to describe it. I have a lot of opportunity. I get to meet a lot of great people. I get to do wonderful things like be on your show and meet folks from the Patriot Guard and interact with the community. I really can't imagine a much better job in life.
We're speaking with Major General Neil Leutholt, the division commander of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, I understand that when it comes to the Red Bulls, the division, we've got a pretty important birthday coming up.
We do. We're actually just about ready to start our 100th year anniversary of the division in a series of events and celebrations, public awareness campaigns, some speaking events, bringing in veterans, current veterans, veterans. We still have a veteran or two from World War II. So we are going to embark on a series of events throughout the course of this next year to appropriately recognize and celebrate the great lineage of our division.
So, General, you're going to have a couple events, or maybe we can come out and do a radio show from one of those anniversary events?
Well, I think probably. It depends. You're pretty busy, Tom. A guy who has 325-hour-long shows, you know, I might have to get my advance notice in to carve out another hour. But if this is your offer, I'm willing to accept right here on radio.
General, we'll do anything we can to support the 100th birthday of the 34th Infantry Division. Now, there's also a 34th Infantry Division Association, is there not?
There is, and so that's independent in terms of it's not an official part of the division, but it's a group of past Red Bull soldiers that have started an association. The headquarters is actually based in Iowa, Tom, and so we have our own chapters called the Commander's Own Chapter, meets quarterly here in Minnesota, and its charter, in addition to other things, is to try and preserve the history of some of our smaller units that sometimes get overlooked in the process. And so at every meeting, in addition to normal regular association business, we have a presentation by a commander or a first sergeant from a small unit that has mobilized and may have otherwise sort of fallen through the historical cracks, so to speak. And then we send that footage up to Camp Ripley to be a piece in our museum.
So anybody that's ever served as a Red Bull can join that association, and I would guess they'll be involved in the 100th birthday, 100th anniversary celebrations.
They will, but just to be clear, Tom, even people who once served in the Air Force or just always wanted to be Red Bulls can join the association. You do not have to have been.
Is that a suggestion from a general officer, sir?
It's just the facts, Tom. That's all those are, is the facts.
General, I want to just clarify one thing. I think there's a lot of the people in the state think that every soldier in the Minnesota National Guard is a Red Bull. But actually, I think there's about 12,000 Minnesota National Guard soldiers. And is it about 10,000 of them that are Red Bulls at any given time?
It might even be just a few less than that. You know, we have soldiers at our state headquarters and in our training units. We have two air wings, as you know. Those folks are in the Minnesota Guard, but they're not necessarily in the 34th Infantry Division. So I try not to sort of make bones about the facts relative to who has more soldiers, my boss or I. But there are a lot of soldiers in the division, Tom.
And your boss, of course, is the Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash.
Indeed, he is.
Yes, sir. Sir, we've only got about 30 seconds left, and we've got a guest that I want to recognize. Anything coming up for the Red Bulls that we should be aware of?
You know, we do have a warfighter coming up in 18, Tom, the details of which, you know, we can get into in some other show. But save it to say, what that exercise does is the same thing that NTC just did for the 1st Brigade. And so in training year 19, the 34th Infantry Division will be the readiest infantry division headquarters in the United States Army, thereby making us eligible for deployment as well.
And, sir, we'll cover that when that comes up, too. It'll be our pleasure to do so.
Perfect.
General, at this time in the show each week, we have a special guest in, and this week we've got one in from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
A little surprise for you here today. You can greet General Lloyd Holt.
I see that.
Tim, I think the Patriot Ride was held recently. How'd that go?
Oh, went great. Beautiful day, finally. No rain.
And how many of those motorcycles started up all at once?
Well, the official count was 4,200.
General, can you imagine the noise that all those motorcycles made if they were started up all at once?
Well, I think you probably can't hear them all start at once. But, you know, while the size is impressive, I think what's always been impressive to me, Tom and Tim, about the Patriot Guard is the size of their heart. You know, I was just in St. Cloud for a deployment of our Chinook unit, Bravo Company of the 2-2 of the 11th, and there was just a small line of Patriot Guards there. There was even a young woman in a wheelchair, and they were all happy to be there, wearing their jackets and their patches, holding their flags. And 4,200 is impressive, but I will tell you, those 13 were very impressive to me and the family members that day in St. Cloud, Tim.
It's an honor. It's always an honor to be there. It's always an honor to be invited. In our hearts, we all know what our military does for us. You know, in fact, today, as I was leaving work, my boss said, "Hey, tell them that that I appreciate what they do. I enjoy my freedom."
Well, that's a good thing, and you have a great employer, and many of us do that way. And your presence helps us to make sure that the community is mindful as well. Well, on behalf of Red Bulls everywhere, Tim, my thanks to you because you're here today, but to all of the members of your organization, and if you could convey that in whatever fashion you do, I greatly appreciate it.
I will.
I need to close with my personal thanks to you for everything that you do for guardsmen in Minnesota, whether they're Red Bulls or not, for the way you help us in the community to promote the cause, to promote the cause of service members, not just those of us in the Guard. You know, I mentioned before about the number of hours of continuous service every year. I see the statistics, the number of stations you're on continues to grow, your reach continues to expand. The comments we get on our own webpage about your programming are phenomenal. And so thank you, Tom, very much for everything that you're doing for us.
Thank you, General. It's an honor to lead the team and tell all these stories and make sure that all our veterans around Minnesota know what's going on here. And thanks for joining us today, sir.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
That was Major General Neil Lloyd Holt, the commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, and Tim Leonhard from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Bob Intrust, 34th Infantry Division Commander, Major General Neil Leutholt, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelliteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minneapolis VA Hospital at Fort Snelling and meet Minnesota's 50th Yellow Ribbon Company. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.